Well, let's open our Bibles this evening, brothers and sisters, and let's get into the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. And Lord willing, I believe that this is very, very straightforward. Not that anything isn't in the Word of God, but what we're going to study tonight by His will is something that comes at us. And there's a lot of folks out there that seem to think that now the Bible does speak in much shadows and types and signs and symbols and things of that nature, but they've tried to gloss over these types of things to say, oh, well, these are just kind of symbolic things that really, really don't mean what they're saying, and it just couldn't be that bad, or the things couldn't come to a point like that. Well, if you've lived in this world for any length of time, I think you've noticed that the evil of man's just waxing worse and worse. The Word of God said that sin would continue to abound more and more in this place because there is a form of godliness that's going on in this world today. It's a form. But it says in the Word that it denies the power thereof. And the only power, the Word of God tells us, and the power of God is in His Son Jesus. And that is the very power. And when we only have a form of godliness, you'll never have the power. You'll never have Christ, in a sense, in just wanting that form. Many people want to come to God, whether it's in their own merit or through different channels. You hear it many times that, oh, there's many ways to God. The Word of God is very specific. There's but one way, and that's in Jesus Christ. No man's going to come and see the Father. No man can go to the Father but through Him and through that name. So again, I think how silly to think that man hasn't progressively gotten wicked. And if you think throughout history from whether it was the days of the Romans and what they did and the Crusades and, then jumping through history to see what we've done even in our recent times, whether it was Pol Pot or whether what they're doing to people in Somalia at this time. And people, they're slaughtering people today. They are. They're slaughtering them worse than animals. And it's just a shame and it's a tragedy. But that's what sin does. And war is in the heart of man. No matter how educated you get, no matter how much education we put in this world, no matter how smart man ever thinks that they are, remember, that's foolishness to God. God made man, and war is in the heart of man, and it's going to come out, and this is what we're going to be speaking of tonight, is chapter 16 here, is when this great tribulation time is happening, and this is actually the beginning, into the great tribulation. This is wrapping it up, the last 3.5 years, this is getting to be the last event, which is basically Armageddon. And the wrath of God is going to come out, and praise His name that the church at this time has been all gathered up together. Isn't that wonderful? We've seen that the bride of Christ has been taken. We've seen that the innumerable multitude has been taken. We see that the 144,000 have been taken to be with Him. And we've seen already many of the souls that they say that are that we see in Revelation chapter 6 that are seen under the altar. Those are the ones that actually had to die that came to a knowledge of the Lord at that time during the tribulation and even into the last 3.5 years, even into that great tribulation, that had passed away but absolutely are present with the Lord and are part of that glorious church. So we're moving on now, and the church is complete, and we're moving into the wraths, and I should say the wrath and the vials, which represent the plagues that we'll talk about this evening. And I want you to notice that these plagues are very similar to the plagues that were brought out onto Egypt. You're just going to find that they're far more intense. Far more intense. They hadn't seen nothing yet. All right. So, but before we begin, I just want to touch on Revelation chapter 14, verse 10. And this is that beginning of the wrath that's being poured out. And I'll just read that, and then we'll go right into verse 1 of 16. It says, "The same drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture." And remember how we said that. This is pure wrath. There's no holding back. There's no, the time of grace, the time shall be no more is hit. Meaning that the time of coming to a knowledge of the Lord, it's over. It's done in a sense of that salvation. God is dealing with Israel at this time, and He's going to be dealing with the ones that make it through, as we'll understand them as the kingdom believers. We understand that there will be people that actually, unless He shorten these days, there would be no flesh left upon the earth. And these are the ones that are going to go into the kingdom that will know Him. In a sense, they are His it's his children, but again, they're not part of that church, that body that's been taken up to heaven with him. This is a different type at this time, and we'll get more into that, I believe, in chapter 18. But here it says again, the same drink shall of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb of God. And this truly is the beginning of that great wrath and torment that they're going to have at this time of this Armageddon that's going to continue on, if you really think about it, obviously in hell, and then from hell they're going to go into that lake of fire. So welcome to not knowing the Lord as your Savior. It's a shame. He came to all men and we're without excuse. You're without excuse. And he would, his will is that all men would be saved. He said that. He gave a chance to every single man, every single person that's ever been on the face of this earth. He gave that chance because he would that all men be saved. But that's the beautiful thing about the Lord is he didn't stop there. He said, and come to a full knowledge of the truth. And if you look up that word, you'll say, well, where did you get that word full? Look what that word knowledge is and what that's pertaining to there. He wants us to grow up completely in him and in this truth. That's what a great God we have. All right, let's get into verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple. And again, the temple being that the believers that are in heaven at this time. And it's so precious that these voices, this that give the angels the instruction, or, and when I say these angels, the word of God obviously has shown us that these are glorified saints that go out and pour out the wrath. This is that jointly reigning with him. But it comes right from the midst of the people of God. And it says here, out of the voice out of the temple, saying to the seven angels, again, this is that spiritual perfection, go your ways and pour out the vials, or pour out the judgment of the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. Now remember, as we've been reading through here and throughout the Word of God, this earth represents the Jews, represents Israel at this time. And yes, the 144 have been taken, 144,000 have been raptured up into heaven at this time. But again, these are the remaining Jews, and all nations will gather themselves together. We're going to read about here. It says all nations. We'll read that in Zechariah. Yes, there's going to be sheep and goat nations, but they're going after Israel. They're going to destroy them. And again, have we come too far from 1936 and 1937? And do you remember World War II when there was the great super race, in a sense, the smartest ones, and they had very smart people over there in Germany? Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to mock, but in a sense, they really are to be mocked because their wisdom is foolishness to God. But that was, in a sense, the smartest that we had, and they were going to exterminate the Jews from the face of the earth. And now it's just another group that has always wanted to exterminate them from the face of the earth. And that's the Muslim. And that's, the fastest growing religion on the earth at this time. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. We're almost there. And I don't just bank upon one group of people or another group of people, because we're going to understand that the devil is allowed to unleash this power and basically possess the kings of this earth to come to that battle. It's going to happen. So I'll tell you what. I want to believe the Word of God. It has never not happened. It has never not come true. It's always right. And it's always there. And this is what it says is going to be. So let's continue on. And it says, and the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, or upon Israel at this time. And there fell a noisome and a grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So again, at this time, you remember in the Old Testament, there were many times that they would have boils. They had emerods, they used to call them as well too. And horrible things would come upon their bodies, like upon Job as well too. But this is going to be something that's far more intense. The Word of God says that there will be diseases without name at this time. And I think we're already there. I think we have diseases with acronyms. Maybe it meant that, you know, whether it's AIDS or all of these different things that we have today. And that's something that's even old now in a way. We've had it with us for many years. But, you know, when we get caught up into just one thing, I mean, there's going to be many types of diseases. diseases. There's going to be numerous diseases, and they are here. We have that flesh-eating thing, that bacteria now that just you can scratch your finger on an airplane. A man out there in Hawaii cut his leg when my brother was out there. He was a very healthy man, about my age, maybe a little younger. And he just had a little wound on his leg, and within 2 days, they had amputated both of his arms and both of his legs, and by the fourth day, he was dead. So I'm just telling you, it's out there. Now, if you don't know the Lord, I'd panic. I would. I would be really afraid. But if you know Him, let the peace of God just that passes understanding just fill your life. It does. He is in charge. And praise His name that He can give us such a wonderful God of all comfort in our lives. All right. So again, these are the ones that receive the mark of the beast, and these are the ones that are going forward that have received the mark of the beast at this time. You know, they thought that they had it made. They were rejoicing. Remember when the two witnesses were laying dead in the street? They were happy. They didn't want to hear that anymore. It was just like when Stephen was in front of them, and he was professing the Lord and telling them about the Lord. And what did they do? They were holding their ears. They were gnashing their teeth. It's already happened, brothers and sisters. This stuff has already happened in a sense. So the Word of God, it cuts. And I'm sure you have been a witness to people at times that the Lord's come upon you to witness to folks. And I'm telling you, you didn't get the reaction you thought you were going to get, did you? You thought, oh, well, they're just going to come down. We're going to kneel down. We're going to bow down. We're going to ask Christ into our heart. And I'm telling you, man, it was Beelzebub himself. And he was coming at you. And I've had that experience. I don't know about you. Where they were just, they have wanted nothing to do with the Lord. Got belligerent and angry to where they wanted to inflict harm. And I'm not kidding. And it happens. But that's what the Word of God does. It gets right to the point and it finds the heart of where you stand with the things of forever. All right. Verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. And this is representing again the Gentile nations and all the rest of everyone. So all of these plagues are coming out at this time. And it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And what this is getting at is there's much war at this time. And I did touch upon it. I've always studied a little bit about the wars. I appreciate my mom always having me get into the history, especially of the world. But really emphasizing our country. And there was that one battle I always remember reading about in Saipan and the sea that was there in Saipan. They said so many people died there that sea was red for, I believe, about 3 weeks. It was just covered in blood and they couldn't get it out of there. And even in Stalingrad, they said that river that runs through there, that so many of those people died in there that it ran blood river for many, many weeks. So it's... there's been types of it. There's been, bits and pieces. And we can say, well, that Stalingrad issue there, you're talking 10 million people. Well, that's just a bit to what we're talking about is going to be at this time. There's 200 million that are coming down just to war. And that's just on one side. And they're the only ones there that they're just coming to war. It's not talking about all the collateral damage that's going to happen from there on out as well, too, that we'll read about tonight. So this is a very devastating time. So going on then, verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. Now these rivers and fountains of water, you'll find them in Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And this is that thing known as wormwood. This is the false teachers. These are the ones that brought forth that false doctrine, in a sense that was the igniter behind the beast and the igniter behind the false prophet that said to bow down and receive the beast. That was that false teaching that was going on at that time. There's a lot of false teaching going on today. It's just a preparation that they're already apart from Christ and they're just going to give their homage to this Antichrist that's going to be upon the earth at any time. And praise God, that means our time's about here and ready to go anyways. But this is, the third angel pouring out this vial upon the ones that had brought in these false teachers, this false doctrine that has been going around. And it says, and I heard the angels of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. And again, this angel that's pouring this out is one of those glorified saints. I really do believe here that we've seen over and over that this is one of the four living ones, the ones that will be fully mature, the fully overcomer that will be ruling and reigning jointly with Christ. And isn't it wonderful that we can support our Lord in what He's doing? And that's important for today. You know, there's many that will look about around this world and that don't know the Lord. And I'm sure you've heard this. How could God be so unmerciful? How could God be so mean to let children starve? How could God be so mean to let these people die over here? Don't you understand? That's not God. That isn't. That's what sin produces. That's exactly what that is. And if it wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't have anything of life going on here today. And I'm telling you, the devil is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it says very clearly that we, the saints at this time, we are holding this thing back. Just being here. And again, I'm not trying to get you to feel too good about yourself, but I hope you do in the Lord, is what I'm saying here. But we're a blessing to this world. We are. We're a blessing to the world. You may not think you're a blessing to anybody, but just by having Christ Jesus in your heart and living your life as a Christian, you are a blessing. And you're a part, again, of God's will in that. And that will is that there's still the love of God. There still is hope that's out here. By His grace, we are still a light unto this world that people can see, I would hope, Christ in me. And that's the love of God. And that's the thing that the Lord, again, wants us to bear in our life. I'm not, again, don't want to get people all excited here as He's saying, well, there's this great revival going on. Oh, no, that's we'll get to the millennium here enough, but where everybody will know Him. But again, I want to be a testimony of the Lord. And you know how that happens? I just fall in love with Him. I put the truth in my life, and He takes care of it, and He does. I don't frustrate the grace of God. I don't make it void. I just live it. As a Christian, I'm learning, you just be. You just be. Be the person by His grace that He's made you. You're a new creation. You're an incorruptible seed. Isn't that wonderful to know? I'm a son of God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. All right. Going on here. It says in the seventh verse. The sixth verse, it says, "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them the blood to drink, for they are worthy." Now turn over to Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, and we'll see the ones, our brothers and sisters, that were crying out for this at this time. Let's actually back up to the ninth verse. That's chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. He says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And you know, I thought this was interesting here. These, you know, were slain. So they're dead, and obviously they're up in heaven. You see, at this time, and they're just praising God and crying out to Him to say, "Lord, we want Your judgment to get a going." You know that? You know why? Because they want to see it wrapped up. Isn't that beautiful that they're in that plan of God? They know by His grace they've come, their faith has been made whole, and they're in perfect harmony and perfect worship with the Lord and saying, "Lord, praise Your name. Let's go ahead and Your judgment is righteous and true." And that's exactly what it says here in verse 7 as we go back to chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments." Isn't that wonderful? See, he's just righteous and He's true. And aren't you thankful, again, I just encourage you as the Lord encourages me, that you see Him as the Lamb. I just think that's so wonderful. I don't have to see Him as, in a sense, as the one with the feet of brass that's going to come back and judgment's going to be cast out at this time. And praise God, we've read about that cloud of witness that's with Him. That's His saints. And we'll be with Him at that time as He comes back and He does pour out this wrath. We are part of that casting out of judgment by His grace. What a wonderful thing. I mean, it's a horrible thing to think that the things that will happen to this earth. And I was thinking again, I think it was Brother Clark who sent me some beautiful pictures. And I'm thankful I've been able to travel so much in a sense throughout my lifetime. And I've seen some very beautiful places. But again, to think that that's everything I'm seeing here is still cursed. It's under the curse. Could you imagine what it was? you know. But most importantly, by His grace, can you imagine what it's going to be? See, our time's coming. Aren't you thankful that you know that? See, you just have hope. And when you have hope and you know Him, it's perfect peace. It really is. In the midst of a storm, and storms can be diseases, storms can be family problems, storms can be financial problems, obviously. But, you know, as I was speaking with a brother today, he said, you know, if you didn't have those things in your life coming, obviously, where would our faith be? Where would our faith be? If we were always on fire for God, if you were always on fire for God, where would your faith be? A lot of people say, what are you saying? Well, I'll say it another way. I remember a person coming to me and said, "Hey, brother, I'm trusting the Lord to heal me of this, and nothing's going on, and I don't understand. You know, I just don't think the Lord's healing me. I don't think He's doing anything for me." And I said, "Well, has the Lord ever healed you before?" "Well, sure He has. He's healed me before." "Well," I said, "if He heals you the same way every single time, where would your faith be? Do you think maybe He's gonna maybe do something a little bit different this time? Can we trust Him?" You see what I'm saying? See, God, again, we don't put Him in a box. He's going to do it His way. And His way is not our way. Okay? I just trust Him that He's going to deliver me. And someday He's really going to deliver me. And He's really going to deliver you. So see, I can't lose. I can't. I'm telling you, when I see Him, I'm going to have a perfect body. Praise His name. I'm going to have a perfect mind. Oh, hallelujah. One that'll just always see Him. Thank you, Jesus. All right, going on to verse 8. "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire." And we'll go on to verse 9. "And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of the Lord," or name of God, "which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory." Now again, this is just as Pharaoh and those plagues were unleashed on the Egyptians as well too. And it was punishment for the oppression of the Jew and the oppression of Israel at that time. And that's exactly what's going on here, is this oppression. And it's amazing again that these people can't help do what God said that they were going to do. I mean, you know, it always amazes me that if you didn't believe in the Lord, at least maybe you would try to get yourself accustomed or acknowledged of what He told you you were going to do. But see, that's how stupid man is. They don't want to have anything to do with the Word. You see? And they can't help but do what God told them to do. And here this sun and the power of it, it scorches men with fire. And I think you remember me telling you how many trillion, just one little sun flare, is trillions of atomic bombs at one time. And you know how many times that sun flares all the time? It just does it constantly. And it's trillions of our most powerful bombs that we could ever make. And yet God has it just completely under control, doesn't He? Oh, but it just evolved that way, didn't it? really, you have to have great faith to believe in that, don't you? A lot more faith than you have to believe that. Yeah, I believe God created that. God created this. God created that. You know, that's simple for me. And you know what? It's true, because God said it is so. Praise His name. All right. So we can see that the power of the sun is unleashed upon these people. I mean, you know, I've heard some people say, well, is this the ozone being depleted? And obviously that would be a harsh thing. I don't believe it's that. I just believe just God does it. You know, we just read here that that He has power over these plagues. God has power over these plagues. I think you've seen those shows recently, and I'm sure you have. You don't have to raise your hand up, but sometimes I have to watch them too. A little bit about, you know, the History Channel, and the History Channel tells you about how the plagues happened in Egypt. Have you caught that one lately? And they explain how the water became red, and they explain how they could have gone over, and all of the whole explanation is what the world did, or what the earth did, to prepare itself for those things to happen. And it was all, I think, from a great volcano. And if that happened at that time, the odds, well, I won't even get into that. And I don't think it could happen with all of those things, but that's my opinion. But again, God does these things. It's just like the ones that don't want to believe in Noah's Ark, that don't want to believe in an Adam and an Eve, that don't want to believe that there was a Tower of Babel, and all of these different things. And again, the crossing of the Red Sea. That's real stuff. It's absolutely. And, you know, they try to find these things. And I really would pray that God, in a sense, I want him to do what he wants to do, but I hope they don't find these things. I know they found, you know, different artifacts in the Red Sea of chariot wheels. And then they found out in the desert where the children of the wilderness, they believe that they were. They found all these little mysterious little cups. And all, and I think that's great. Don't get me wrong. That they would have put the manna in every day, you know, that when they would go get the manna and or little bowls that they would have. But you know what? I just want to believe him. Now people say, "Oh, that's just stupid." No, it's called faith. It's called faith because he said it was so, and I believe it. And that's where it has to rest, brothers and sisters. It has to be that way for us to really go on as a Christian and truly put on the armor of God that we're talking about. We have to believe that his word is true. You do. It just is. And going on that way. When we wrestle against it, when we want to try to figure something else out, in it, when we want to put our philosophy into it or our mind, it doesn't work, does it? Because it has to be spiritually revealed to us. It has to be something that we believe and accept. See, Jesus himself, it was wonderful. He did all of those great miracles, you know, and it was great that he could heal people. But obviously, he's the God of very God. He knew what they would start going after. And what did they start going after? The miracles, the events. Just like Israel, they knew the acts of God. Everybody can tell you the acts of God. Most Christians can. They can tell you about the Red Sea parting and them walking across Jordan and David and Goliath. And those are marvelous things. But Moses knew the ways of God. He knew the heart of God. See, we want to know the heart of God. The only way you're ever going to know the heart of God is to know the Word. And truth and grace and spirit and truth growing up in our life. That's how we're going to grow with him. That's how we're going to go on. It's not by feeling, it's by faith. All right, so the men were scorched with great heat in verse 9 and blasphemed the name of God. Isn't that wonderful? You'd think that they would get it. But nope, we're going to blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. See, they have eyes and they see not. They have ears and they hear not, right? It's just like when Jesus was up on that cross and he died. And they put him away. They knew he rose again. And what did they want to do? They didn't want to believe it. And all they did was pay the Roman soldiers and say, just tell them that those disciples took him away. Okay? When you don't want to believe, you're not going to believe. You know? And that's the way it is. Okay, going on, verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed with their tongues for pain. And this kingdom is obviously speaking of here Babylon, and this Babylon at this time as well, that seat, because it says that he, that the lady and him, or the great whore, are together at this time, and that's that religious Romanish system that will basically be conquering the whole world at this time. And what do they do? Verse 11. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Go over to Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. And you'll see there that this is that same thing. And the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues repented not of their works, of their hands. They saw these things happening. But look at Pharaoh. He saw all these things happening, didn't he? And what did he do? He just got more angry. And he was just set to destroy and to keep them imprisoned. And then finally he says, okay, I'll let the people go. And obviously he had in his heart the whole time, I'm still going to come after them, didn't he? See, saw all those things. This has already happened, so why should this be something that would be surprising to us? You know, man is just doing his same old thing over and over. It's just the evil in that man waxes worse and worse when they're apart from God. And it says, and repented not of their works, of their hands, that they should not worship, devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And that's something. And I was thinking there again, you think about the idols of gold and silver, brass and stone and of wood and all of their idols. You know what a lot of people's idols today are their watches and their homes and their cars and all of those things. Uh-oh. I saw some heads drop back there. Now, I'm not trying to meddle, but don't let that be your idol. Yeah, don't let that be who you think makes you a person or makes you the man or makes you the woman or whatever it is. It's God that makes you the person, okay? It's God that makes you a man and a woman. And most importantly, there's neither male nor female there, and we're just His children, and by His grace He wants us to grow up. All right. Going on, the sixth vial here, and this is such a wonderful time, and this is really the pouring out, and this is Armageddon beginning here. And let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, and there's many, many references, brothers and sisters, and you know, we could be studying about one verse, like I say, until the Lord come, and if He tarried for a long time, but these are just some highlights that I really want us to think about what God is telling us what will be at this time. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." The Word of God also tells us that the world will rock to and fro, the earth will like a drunken man. There's bombs that are going to be going off at this time. I mean, you know, what a perfect time again to be talking about this tonight. You know, there's got Korea. Again, we don't know where they could shoot it, but they've got a bomb now, and there's other people that have bombs too. And I'm not trying to be facetious here about it because it's just coming. It's coming. Iran's going to have their nuclear power here or here shortly, and it's out of control. And again, as I was speaking to someone, I think about 2 weeks ago, they were really concerned, and they're a Christian. "Oh, I'm just so upset about my children growing up into this and all of that." And I can understand that I don't like to have my kids face a lot of the things that are on the internet and TV and the things that they have to come into contact with. But you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. "And if He be for me, who can be against me? And I know one thing, that Jesus Christ is for my kids. He's for your children too. And you know what? Put Him in your home. Put Him in everything that you do by the grace of God. And you know what? He takes care of us. And even as we read about, even when we don't abide faithful, He abides faithful. Because He cannot deny Himself." Isn't that wonderful? Know who's in you. Know who's in you. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're going on here with verse 12. And actually, before we start here, I want us also to go over to Zechariah chapter 14. We're going to read some verses there that'll prepare us for this 12th through the 16th verse. So Zechariah chapter 14, and we'll go to the first verse. Zechariah 14. All right. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." They're coming, okay? And the neat thing about this is we've been reading about how the four winds come from the north and the south and the east and the west and all. And you can kind of see these nations starting to ramp up here. We have in the north, we have Russia at this time. If you go over there and look at the geography there as well too. And the bear comes out of the north. And it's kind of interesting that the animal for Russia is a bear. But the animal for, I believe it is it Iraq or Iran as well too, that's to the north is also a bear as well too. So you have that coming out of the north. And then you have where the sun rises, the east, that's Asia. And you can see the power that's over there as well too. And talk about having an army of 200 million. I'll tell you, they could have one just right there probably in Shanghai and Beijing, you know, just right today. So they've got that there. And then out of the south, you have the African nations and all of that that are coming up into that well as well at this time. And then over in the west, you have the European Union, the good old UN. Boy, they've really been charmers, haven't they? They're really ready to act, I'll tell you. Okay, I'll stop getting... I don't think that's political. I just think it's factual. You know, they just do absolutely nothing, and they make a mockery of things. But see, that's where we're starting to give our power to, and you can see when these nations unite, and we get the 10 nations and the 7 nations and then and the kings there as well too, you can see that that's what happens is we put our confidence and we put that power in that place, and you can see how that could be destruction real quick, real quick. So know what we're dealing with here. All right. So going on in verse 2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And when the Lord fights in the day of battle, he's always victorious, okay? There's just, and it's spoil. Whether the day of battle is Samson with the jawbone, and he goes out there, and you know what he did to them, and you know, there's just nothing that can stop it, because it's the Lord. Okay, verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave into the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half is toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled, and before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Oh, I think there's that cloud. Praise his name. And it shall come to pass in that day that that light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that the living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananeel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Okay. We saw a glimpse of that, I believe it was in 1945. Isn't that right? And that was in Nagasaki and in Hiroshima. And that's when they started finding out what happens to people when they have a nuclear disaster from atomic energy and those types of things. And that bomb is nothing to what they have today. But I think that as the world has said, and they've stated about man, now they do have some weapons now that they haven't used, but there's never been a weapon that they've created that hasn't been used. They use them. Okay? Don't think that they're just using them to rattle their sabers. These people will use them. The United States uses them. Whether it's good, bad, indifferent, whatever you think, I'm just making a statement. They're used. And this is what's going to happen to these folks. They're going to be standing up on their feet, and their flesh is going to fall. Their eye sockets, it's all going to consume away. So you can see when the prophets saw the world rocking to and fro. Those are bombs. Those are things going on at this time. That is going to be a horrible time of destruction. But unless, again, God shorten those days, there'd be no flesh upon the earth. All right, now back to chapter 16, verse 12. We'll kind of move along here because I'd like to get through the end of the chapter. It says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. That's where they're at today, our soldiers and troops right over there. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now the great river Euphrates is 1,500 miles long, and in some places it's many miles wide. And it was a great barrier as far as for war and different things, especially in this time and in the Old Testament time. It was very difficult sometimes to navigate through. What this is saying is it's all going to be dried up. There's not going to be anything but a highway in a sense for war. God will prepare it, and these people are coming down, and they're coming down in the Valley of Jehoshaphat to fight in this battle of this great battle of Armageddon. All right, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. And these unclean spirits like frogs is a metaphor of a serpent. So obviously these are demons that are coming out of this thing, and obviously out of the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon is the devil. We've read about that already. And out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils. And this is such an exciting verse here. Working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. This is when we get a time you think your leaders might be demon possessed at this time. And I don't believe they are. I pray that in the Word of God tells us to pray for them. And they do need a lot of prayer. But the leaders of the world will be demon-possessed at this time. They will. They will be led completely by the devil. They will be allowed and told exactly where to go, and they will follow him. If you look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 17, I love this verse. And a lot of people say, well, and I'm going to couple this with Proverbs 16:4, so you might make note of that, and I want to read both of these verses. But these verses give me great peace because I know my God's in control. It says in 17:17 of Revelation, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." Now, I've read that verse to you before, and I've read Proverbs chapter 16. Let's turn over there. Verse 4. And know this. Know this is the one that you're the apple of his eye. This is the one that holds you. Okay? I don't care if you're facing a teacher at this time, or you think that you have a very evil person over you at work and all of these different things. Look at what the Lord says here. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea. Even the wicked for the day of evil. See, he's got it all under control. He's got the devil on a chain. And he does. And the devil can't do anything that he doesn't allow him to do. The wicked can't do anything but what he allows him to do. Even, again, I'll point out Job. Such a wonderful story. We understand how Job was so tested in his body and in his family, in a sense, was taken, and all of his goods and possessions. But even from the very beginning, Job was so protected that God had to remind and actually have Satan say, "Hey, have you seen my servant Job?" The devil hadn't even recognized Job. God had to point him out. Now, don't ask the Lord to point you out, but know how he's got control of you. He has to point you out. And if he points you out, God points you out, you're special to him, aren't you? And let me tell you something. He's pointed you out. He has. Because I know that it says in the Word of God, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. And I believe by his grace, we have a group of people here that truly are after his best. And it's a requirement. It's a requirement. If you're going to reign with him, you're going to suffer with him. Goes on to say, but if you deny that right to suffer, because that's exactly what it's saying there, he'll deny you the right to reign. And that's what that is saying. Because read on, because, but even if we're unfaithful, he's faithful still. He's always faithful because he cannot deny himself. Oh, read the Word of God. Line up on line. Don't stop short. Don't let people pull out little verses and different things like that to try to stumble you. Right? Oh, know the Word of God. Hallelujah. And you know what? Even when we don't or might be otherwise minded, it says that in his faithfulness, he'll even reveal that unto us, doesn't he? Praise God. See how he takes care of you? He knows your heart, brothers and sisters. All right. Let's keep going. Bear with me a little bit. We're going to stay just a little bit longer, but I think this is exciting stuff. All right, verse 13. And I saw again the three spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Isn't that wonderful, again, that he's bringing all this to pass? He's bringing all these here. He's setting the stage. Okay? And he does the same thing for your life. And don't think that he doesn't. He directs it. Okay? He put the giants in the land. He put those obstacles in your life. Overcomers need things to overcome. They do. Amen. All right. Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and blessed and keeps his garments. lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So again, such grace of the God here, again, warning us not to miss him and to miss this destruction. We don't have to be part of this by the grace of God. None of the world has to. Obviously, anybody who's saved here this evening, you will never see this in a sense. You'll never be part of the wrath. You'll be part of the judgment, but you won't be part of the wrath. Meaning, when I say part of the judgment, that you'll be, by His grace, doling out some of this judgment in that cloud. All right. And He gathered them together in a place called, in Hebrew tongue, Armageddon, which means the hill of slaughter. All right, going on. Verse 17. Here is the seventh vial. This is the complete Antichrist religion at this time, the system that's been in this world. It's going to be judged and it's going to be destroyed. We'll read about this complete destruction, Lord willing, when we get to Revelation chapter 18. All right, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven. And you notice it's in the air this time. This is like it's going over everything. It's not just this. It's not just this part and this part. This is complete. It's going to be over. This is the seventh one. This is the perfect judgment. This is spiritual perfection. It's coming out. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Aren't you thankful that you listened and believed in "It is finished"? Because we don't have to be part of, in a sense, the wrong part of "it is done" or "you are done." All right. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. Again, that's just kind of insinuating that there have been great earthquakes on this earth, and I'm sure there have been. I mean, you know, however God, you know, made the continents and all of these different things, you know, wonderful. I don't think it took that long to do. I think He spoke it. I think it was there. But if He did it another way, in a sense of having the different plates go different ways because of it, who cares? It's His work, all right? So let's just get out of man's stupidity and get on with God. All right. So there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And this is the time when the Word of God, and talk about it being that offensive sword, and I do appreciate seeing all of the different pieces of armor of what they are, but it is the Word of God that smites all the wicked. I'd like you to turn with me over here to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. And we'll read just a little bit about this sword. That's chapter 19, verse 11. This is how God defeats and wraps it up. But listen to what the Lord is saying, even in your life. The only thing that's going to defeat the devil in your life, the enemy in your life, is the Word of God. That's your victory. Just like Jesus Christ, when He was dealing with Satan, when Satan tried to tempt Him, what did He say? "It is written." It is written. It's the Word of God. It's the same thing that Jesus used. And again, I always love it because that was the Word speaking to Him. But that's our defense. Praise His name. It's the Word. It's the truth. So in verse 11 here it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Oh, our wonderful Lord. "And his eyes were as a flame of fire." This is the Lamb that you know. "And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." Oh, I hope you're a good horse rider. "Clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Hallelujah. "And out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword." There it is, the Word of God. "And with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Isn't that wonderful? See, that's the victory that we have today. Because we have the Word of God today. That victory is in your life. You are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. And I'm still trying to figure that out. But you can only really understand that in the Lord. I mean, if I won, I won. If I beat him really bad, I'm a winner. But I'm more than a conqueror by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? He be for me, who can be against me? All right, going on. Verse 18. All right, verse 19. "And the city was divided into three parts." And again, the city and all of this devastation is the word of God. And the cities of the nation fell. So again, the city Babylon went into three parts, and then the cities of the nations fell. So this is utter destruction, total destruction. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And you'll find that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, which is just right across the page. If you go back to the 14th verse in the 8th chapter, it says, "And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Remember, she brought them in and bedded them all. And anybody who wanted to come in, that harlot, that great whore, it gave them the disease, it gave them all that stuff. And most sadly and tragically, it gave them the wrath of God and the fierceness of the wrath of that wine, of the fierceness of his wrath. That's that complete payback. Justice will happen. It will happen. Vengeance is mine. I will repay it, he saith the Lord, for your life. See, bring this into your individual life with people. Remember, he takes care of your enemies. He says, do good unto them that despitefully use you. He takes care of them. And when he takes care of something, I'm really learning this in my life. He does a far better job than I ever could. I used to think, well, Lord, let me help you. Let me give you an idea. Let me tell you how I'd like this to go down. But you know what? I want to have the will of God in my life. And it's nothing that I can do. I'm telling you, that one's apart from me. And that's the miracle that I know is going on that I can experience in my life, is when he's having things happen in my life that I know that there is no way that that could have ever been of me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Greater than a Red Sea. I'm telling you, just pay attention to what he's doing in your life. Let him do it. All right. And it goes in the 20th verse. And it said, "And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent," somewhere around 120 pounds or so. And men, what did they do? They blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And I appreciate that even after all this and all that, if you thought you escaped, if you thought you got away from it, you just had about a 120 pound hailstorm just hit you right in the head. Okay? You're not going to get away from God. You're just not. Amen. And I'm so thankful. You know what? I'm not going to get away from God. I can't. Because he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful, wonderful Lord. Let's stand.